What kind of language is that for a woman to be hearing?
Your squeals of delight.
One for us.
You can go sulk in the corner.
Okay.
Listen to some emo music and cut yourself.
Oh.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. And I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 19th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, we have lots of news, pictures, lots of hobbying we've done, and a review. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures we're checking out. Now on to the show.
Welcome to the 19th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for late July.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Jack.
And I'm Rob.
And this is the 19th episode. Who would have thought we would have made it this far?
That's right. Legally allowed to drink in Canada.
Nice. You'll have to wait for the 21st episode, you Americans. Then you can join us.
That's right. Unless we buy stuff for you, you know what I'm saying? Creepy.
Dial the creep fest down a little bit. Just, you know, you're up here. You're at John Wayne Gacy. We need you down here maybe like just a regular clown.
No, clowns are evil. Anyway, on with the show.
So what's on the agenda for today? What do we got?
Lots of news.
Lots of news. Lots of news.
And we've done some projects. You actually did a project. And
yeah.
I did a project. And we also have a review.
We do. Well, let's get to her.
Let's
knock this thing out of here.
So first, we'd like to discuss that Dead Zone Wave 2 is the Kickstarter is shipping, theoretically. And it's going to start July 28th for non-new faction orders. So if you ordered Forge Fathers of Asterion, it's going to be a little later. It's going to be August, beginning of September by the time they actually ship out. So it's a little later than even we expected, but still, it's coming. So that's the good news. We have a nice picture of a new picture Mantic released of the Asterians, showing their ciphers. They're neat looking. You've not liked them as much as I, but...
No, it's not that I don't like them. It's just not my deal. I like the paint job on those, the black and yellow. They've got, you know, they're nice. I'm not going to knock them.
They're nice. And here's a shot of the... hard sprue for the Forge Fathers. That's they did just showing what's on each sprue. A lot of hammers, a lot of heads.
Hammers, heads, a couple guns.
That's hard plastic for the Forge Fathers. But they did have some trouble with the hard plastic for the Enforcers. So the Peacekeeper Enforcers are delayed until October. Once again, I don't get any Enforcers.
So you got shafted again.
And we also have a picture of the Heart's Brew for the Enforcers. What's this going to look like eventually?
Now, I hope you have gotten a sternly worded, very, very pointed letter. Dear Mantic.
Enough people did that, don't worry. Believe me, there was enough bitching. I didn't have to.
Okay.
But I'm getting other things. Anyways. I'm getting the, it's just the hard plastic ones. I'm still getting all the, I'm getting my Howlett, my hero, and... other things. Oh, Striders. So that's cool.
Oh.
That'll tide me over.
A Strider. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, oh, you got Sergeant Howlett. Big deal. But no, if you got a Strider. After that, it's all gravy after you get a Strider. Yeah. I'm looking forward to busting those things out.
You can check out our new article on Beast of War. It's all about mechs. So it'll be up there sometime discussing how much Striders are cool. And there's also, Mantic also has a new website that's, they call it Mission Control. It's showing all the Kickstarter, when everything's shipping, and schedules, trying to keep people all, as much as they can in a loop.
That's really thoughtful.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, people complain that Mantic's behind, but compared to some companies, like Robotech RPG Tactics was supposed to come out in December last year. It's still not out, and it's not going to ship before Gen Con, which is in August. And people are flipping out because they're going to be selling them at Gen Con. So they're like, they're angry.
And rightfully so.
But Mantic has tried everything. Like, they are selling their destroyed battle zones and things like that, which we were supposed to get before anybody. But other than that, all the miniatures and stuff, they're holding back for us. So.
Well, that Mission Control, we'll have a link on the website if you want to scroll down and take a look and get up-to-date information.
Yep, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Check it out. And also the Incursion, Dead Zone Incursion book about the Forge Fathers and Asterians and New Rules has been released to Kickstarter backers digitally. So we looked at that, which is good.
Yeah, I took a gander at that.
Some new rules and stuff. We also have a great picture of the Mantic put over the copper plates, the copper molds for the Forge Fathers. It's kind of cool to see the actual molds for the actual guys. Hey, look, it's neat. It looks like almost like a baking set. This is all the bits of Forge Fathers.
Yeah, I'm trying to see, like...
That looks like their heads and the tops of their bodies, I think. And their arms, maybe?
Yeah, it's hard to tell what it actually is.
I think these are... Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's neat to see them, though.
But certainly the Chinese writing behind there probably hints to as to where the production is taking place.
Everything made of plastics made in China, that's for damn sure.
Well.
We also had a letter from Community Pat.
Ah, good, good. I'm glad. I know that he does listen, which is nice.
Well, he obviously listens because he says he has no problem with the dirty words, but we're still going to try to keep it clean.
Yeah, because Community Pat, he's probably cool with the saucy language, but we also
still have to worry about Kai.
Kai, yes, and we don't want to mixed company.
That's right. what do you always say? It's not for. What kind of language is that for a woman to be hearing?
Yes, I don't appreciate people using that saucy language in front of a young lady such as Kai. So we'll try. I'll try my best.
And Community Pat also gave us some insights to upcoming stuff. The Brocker bike, it's called a Valkyr, and he told us even how to pronounce it.
He did. A little parentheses at the tail end there, Valkyr.
So that's what the bike's called. And the Asterians have a jet bike, which is called the Sky Racer. And seeing the pictures of that Sky Racer, I'm sad I didn't purchase it, and I'm sure in the future it will be purchased because it looks awesome.
And he has in parentheses how to pronounce Sky Razor, so that's, he's being real helpful.
He did not do that.
No, he did not do that.
And the Asterians and Forge Fathers also have two weapon platforms. The Forge Fathers have a Fragram, which is a remote automated mind mapping, but they use it as a weapon. And it's a shoot shrapnel, and they also have something called a Netcracker Inferno Drill. It's a mining laser.
Okay, and well, we've seen it in the pictures of the Forge Fathers with the various equipment, so we now know we can put a name to the face.
Yeah, there's two different ones. That's what we didn't know. There was two different ones. One's really is a lot smaller, and then the one's bigger. In the Incursion book, you can see that better.
Yeah.
And the Asterians have a grav platform. You could put either a shield generator or that protects your entire squad, like they have an energy shield, which is kind of cool. Or they can have a no-energy cannon. Or a force cannon, just big guns. There's some great shots of them.
Now, someone really went to town painting those.
Yeah, they look awesome. I like how the pink on it is a nice accent, but it still matches the colors of the it's got the yellow and the black and the blue, like the weapons.
They went bold. That looks alien. Like it looks.
It's really striking.
Yes.
It's cool looking.
It's an odd, you wouldn't get out a color swatch and go, this would go with this, would go with this, but it works.
Magenta with the yellow and black. Yeah.
That's
and
probably Dave's handiwork.
I don't know who paints everything for them. He does the terrain. I assume he paints too. I'm not sure. I think they have a few paints, but
oh, probably.
It's hard to say.
Okay.
Maybe Community Pat can tell us who painted that. And he also gave us some information about the upcoming Contagion book. So the Contagion book's the third and last book from the compendium.
That was going to be one book, but they broke it up into three for ease of use.
And it was just too big. So the new Contagion book will have rules for the Stage 3 Zed, which are the zombies. So they're still considered a plague. Interesting.
Okay.
And they use the Marine Zombies box, which is the new zombies coming out. And they have two abilities. One which is Horde, which allows every zombie in a cube to add +1 dice to a fight for each zombie in the cube. So that's kind of cool. So it's a better version of your ally dice when you're rolling. You get one for every. So if you have four guys in the cube, you get +4 dice for each guy when you fight. So zombies, when they get on top of you, you're in trouble. And it also has rules for the AI deck, which leads to co-op play, obviously. And there's subtypes in the AI deck. So there's Command, Assault, Line, Heavy, and Support. And for each one of those, each one of the models are considered, it gives them different things.
Oh, okay. So that they all...
So depending on what type of model, it'll dictate what kind of action they can do.
Right, so that not all...
It'll be like, you're Commander, go charge up front. No.
Right, right. Not all the models will be acting mindlessly. There'll be some sort
of... Yeah, a lot more advanced than I even thought it would be. And there's a list of requirements, so you go through the list, so it's like a heavy will try to shoot, and then it'll evade, and if it can't evade, then it'll move, and if it can move and fire if possible, and if not, then it'll just overwatch. So it gives you like, oh, can it do this? No. Okay, can it do this? Yes, you do that one
in a order of order, priority. Yeah. So they want the certain models to act a certain way, but barring that, then has a plan B.
It's kind of cool.
Plan C.
And I can't wait to get our hands on the AA decks. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, because we've been able to keep playing and mixing it up, and we've kept adding. We started without the mercenaries and all that stuff. Yeah. We've really been able to grow, but I think the AI deck's gonna really change
the next
things
level.
Up.
Yeah. Plus, it'll allow even to have two of us play against each other and another opponent in the mix. Like we were talking about adding robots in there to have security, and we actually pronounce Jotun correctly. The vehicle from last episode.
Oh.
We actually pronounced something correctly.
Well, how do you know you just pronounced it correctly now? What if you've just
said
it differently than when you did it?
Jotun. Yeah, Jotun. It's only because Jotunheim. It's Thor comics. Thor comics coming back to save me.
Okay, well, it's good. We got one in the win column there.
One for us. So that's pretty much the news. It's just a lot of Wave 2 stuff. And we can't wait for Wave 2.
A little hint on what's coming out, a little information about what has come out.
And we'll have more pictures later. We'll discuss some other stuff. We need some more pictures.
Yeah, our next podcast, the next Dead Zone podcast, will be at the end of this month. And hopefully we have in our greasy little hands
is the end of July. So we won't get that until like the end of August. So we'll have one more before we get our stuff yet.
Are you sure it's going to be the end of August?
But the way they're talking, yeah, it's going to be the end of August.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then maybe not the next one. We won't have it in our greasy little hands, but soon.
It'll be the next one after that, probably. Soon. Hopefully. We believe. You'll know when we get it. There'll be unboxings. Pre-unboxings.
Yes. Yeah, pre-unboxings. Hey, we're going to do an unboxing episode. Oh, really? How come all these boxes are open, Rob?
How come all these miniatures are assembled and painted? I couldn't wait.
Your squeals of delight will alert me to the mail.
We also have a shout-out. Like to give a shout-out.
I'm done with the shout-outs. I don't like them anymore again.
Well, that's appropriate. You have that apathy, because this person's Twitter name is @DestroyApathy. He's going to destroy your apathy. It's Mike McKinney. He said some nice stuff about us on Twitter, so I give him a shout-out.
Okay. Now, what is it that he said?
I don't remember, but it was nice stuff. I don't remember.
Okay, well,
we have so much nice stuff said about us.
So he's earned himself a...
In my eyes, he earned himself a shout-out.
For something he may or may not have said at some distant time. Okay, see, I'm starting to see the shout-outs are starting to go back to the way they were, and I'm not having it.
Hey, you can look for people to shout-out to all you want.
I do.
And you've never given one out?
Never. I have stringent rules. I'm very strict.
Nobody's passed your test yet?
No, no one's passed the muster yet. But one day, when they do, Rob, I'll bring in a...
You'll have like a whole PowerPoint presentation of this person?
That shout-out will be the shout-out to end all shout-outs.
Well, there you go, people. Strive to get a shout-out from Jack. Good luck, because he's not on Twitter. He is not on Facebook. You will never interact with him.
Which makes it tough, but when you
but if
do...
you can find him.
That's right.
So we're going to take a small commercial break here. We're going to hear from Mantic. Well, hear from Wintergreen about Mantic.
Okay. Well, come back in a couple seconds and we'll get on to what's new and hot in the world of Dead Zone.
Yeah.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. Dead Zone is the tabletop game from Mantic Games. Please visit them at manticgames.com.
And we be back. So, the second half, we're going to discuss a bit more stuff in depth here. We have some pictures from the second wave card deck.
The second wave card deck. Now, what is that? What is that?
So it's all the mercenaries cards and named characters like Sergeant Howlett, Edict Primera, and Bjarne Starnefall.
Now, these are now the official stats. We've had working stats before.
These aren't all of them. These are just a few that Mantic has released. But yeah,
right.
gives us an idea.
We've had the beta rules. Now, these are pictures, and we're looking now at pictures of the cards that these are official now.
Yep, we got some heroes, I'd like to call them, because they're not necessarily mercenaries. Because personally, Edict Pomera. He only works for the Rebs. That means he's a hero. He's not a freaking mercenary.
He's a rebel hero.
He works for anybody but Asterion, so I would say he was a mercenary.
No, I'm looking here, and that...
Bajarn? The dwarf?
No, Edic. He's...
what's it called?
Yeah, not a Yindish.
He's Yindish.
Oh, yeah, because the other one's a Sorak.
Yeah, he doesn't have his arms for legs and legs for arms.
But you can understand my confusion, though. Why I'm...
He's an odd color.
Yeah, it's he's not.
He's not even red.
He's not purple.
But he's not red either.
Maybe the Yindish heroes, I think,
or maybe generally Yindish come in all different races and creeds.
Oh,
the united colors of Yindish.
Nice, and they all work together.
Well, yeah, I assume they're all in the Rebs.
Well, he's certainly a rebel hero. So we'll
first let's look at Bajarn. He's 19 points. Works for anybody but Asterians. He's got a lot of abilities. Tough, scout, life support, and spotter. So he'd be helpful for artillery. And he's got a mining laser, which is AP2, which is nice. And he's got... They finally named the armor. It's called Hammer Fist Drop Armor. Yep. And he's, he looks pretty good. Pretty expensive. And the Yindish, he's got agile, tough, scout, stealth, and tactician. He can be a leader. That's kind of cool. And he's got a crossbow. Silent. I wonder what silent means. I don't remember reading rules about silent.
Silent, no. I'm gonna guess if he's got a crossbow, he probably doesn't make any noise when he's...
Yeah, so I wonder how that affects gameplay.
I have no idea.
And...
We'll have to take a look at that and we'll figure that out.
And we got my Pathfinder off the bike. She's pretty much like a recon. She's only 9 points, though. Less than 10 points for an enforcer. She's going to be like a mainstay, and she's a trooper, too. I have to buy like 10 of these models. Because why would I not? She's got the same weapon as recon, too. So she's pretty much recon.
Range 6, single shot, holo sight.
So it's single shot, which sucks. But
other than that, it sucks.
Well, it just means you can't blaze away. Now, holo sight's nice because that gives you +1. And we also got some stats for the old Striders.
Now that is what I've been kind of waiting on with bated breath. I wanted to take a gander at the cost and the stats, see where they fall in the armies that we've played. If you can squeeze them in, fit them in.
It's only 26 for the Enforcer points, 28 I think for the Plague, and 26 for the Reb. The Plague one's a little bit more expensive because it's got some ability called Crazed, which I think it means it's always in raid. It's always...
Yes, I think you can't change its... Yeah,
it's always... What is the top one called? Enraged, I guess.
Yeah. It doesn't go down in levels with its...
So that means pretty much you can't suppress it because you can't change its... Unless you can. No, because it's always that, I think. Yeah, so... And same with the, actually, Unflinching, too. I think that's what both, I think none of them can be suppressed, because Unflinching, I think that's what that means anyways. It means you can't reduce their, can't pin them, pretty much. Which makes sense, because really, you don't see a robot dropping to the ground trying to hide.
Covering its head. Now, I'm looking here, the weapons for both the Rebs and the Plague, they've both got the same kit out.
Chainsaw. AP3 chainsaw, which is with a plague with an AP3. It's scary.
That's pretty wicked. And it's got the
flavor, which you love.
Yeah, because I do kind of like the it burns.
I don't know why. I guess it's more expensive just because it's more rare that a plague would have one. Because it's got one less hit point than the others.
Because of all the battle damage across this cockpit and all the...
The Enforcer ones, its weapon is really good, but it's single shot and long reload. So it can only shoot... It means it's each shot, it can't move and shoot.
Even your Strider's a sniper.
Pretty much, because it's an AP4 weapon, so it's really a plague killer, that thing. Plague stage 1 killer.
But that begs the question, what if your Strider picks up a pistol from off the ground? Is it then able
to... Yeah, that's right. And then the Reb is, it's the same Strider as the Plague one with the chainsaw and the flamer, but it's just got... it's actually only got 4 hit points, too, so it's identical to the... but it can blaze away. That's the only difference.
Well, that's good. And for 26, 20, 28 points, it's a...
Well, what we do is probably play 100-point armies plus a Strider, because they're only 2 points difference.
That's a pretty reasonable
piece of equipment. Here's the stunt bot for the Marauders. First of all, look at its stats. Terrible stats. 5, 6, 5. But it's 26 points. It's got a single-use flamer, a thermal cannon, which is AP2, single shot, which is fine, and a buzzsaw, which is the same as the chainsaw. But it's because of its stats, it's not really worth it. I'd rather have a suit, right? Like one of the Ripper suits.
It looks like when someone when they take a some product they want to do, like a fighter aircraft, and then they take it apart and then they give
it to
scientists and they say, okay,
reverse engineer it.
Just build this and it will be our own creation.
Well, it is actually is like the old version. Theirs is called the I think there's this like two versions behind the Enforcer one. So
So it's like a prototype.
Yeah.
Rather than a so it's just
similar idea though. It looks like it's a welding. I think it was originally they said it was for mining or something like that. If you read the fluff,
who cares about the fluff? Actually, it looks like an interesting.
Well, it's beautiful looking.
And if you stats aside, if you want to take one out for a spin,
it's a nice looking Mac. Like they're all cool looking. They all have their own. Other than the at least the picture on the card, the Rebs have like a neckerchief. In the another picture I saw, that it's on their groin. It looks like they're wearing a loincloth.
Yeah, we'll see what they get come for accoutrement.
Yeah, and also we're gonna get cards for Plague Stage 3Z and Dreadball Striker Jack and Guard because of that MVP scenario for Nexus Psi.
Yes.
So that's cool. That'll be able to use those at least as a base for. For using other Dreadball minis for Dead Zone. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And just as a to mix the campaigns up and stuff, you know, the MVP, I don't know if it's going to be escorting missions or anything.
Yeah, I think
that,
it's going
to
be escorting missions. But mission, yeah.
It'll be something else, something new to try. I don't think we've gotten, the game hasn't gotten stale by any stretch of imagination.
Well, we haven't played, didn't want to play any of the campaigns until we get the actual Nexus Eye hardcover book, so we haven't even done any campaigns.
So, like, we're still. We still got a lot of gameplay.
And there's a new campaign in the Incursion book, which is kind of cool. Or not, new, I wouldn't call it a campaign, but a new scenario.
Scenario, yeah. It was something they had to get
for
out
for Peacekeeper
board,
armor.
And they had to stay in this formation of some sort. Yeah, I glanced at it.
I didn't even look at it that much. So I was like, don't have Peacekeepers till October. I don't have to read this.
No.
We have a great picture of the Plague Strider. Nice shot of it. Bloodied up. He looks awesome.
Bloodied,
the paint jobs are
rusted.
Yeah.
Busted up.
It looks like it was literally used a chainsaw and sprayed blood all over its white carapace.
And the cockpit looks melted.
Busted open. You can see the little plague inside.
All the joints look rusty and nasty.
That's a great picture. Great Mac. It's gonna be fun. Forcer Strider's a lot more clean. He's good looking. I like his gun. Once again, nice paint job.
Yeah, fits in with the aesthetics of the Enforcer Strider. Looks like an Enforcer Strider. It doesn't look like it's a Strider.
Yeah, it looks like it's part of that team for sure.
Yeah, it's got that same look, the lines are the same.
And here's a shot of the Marauder, one with his canopy open.
Oh, and look at the little guy inside.
Yeah, little goblin inside.
If, go to the website and follow along with us, and you're gonna be able to follow along, look at the pictures we're looking at.
Or check us out on YouTube, too.
Oh,
Dead Zone, the podcast on YouTube.
And that the pictures pop right up. You can't help but to see what we're looking at. And that is an adorable-looking goblin stuffed inside that suit of armor. Look at him. He's not prancing. Don't get me wrong.
No, but he's definitely cool. I like his little goggles.
He's got goggles on, a little, like an aviator cap.
Great paint job on his mouth and, like, shading on his face. Like, you imagine how small that is?
Well, his hands on the controls and stuff.
Great job.
Yeah, it's a good job.
I like how it's all chipped up, too, the paint job?
Yeah.
Rusty, look at dripping rust on it.
I can't imagine, like, they must have a light box that they're taking these pictures with. They're pros, obviously. But the amount of detail that he picked up with that camera that they did for painting is astounding. It's astounding.
Even scratches, look at the scratches, and it's a really good job. So, we'll have another quick ad here for Iron Watch magazine. Check it out online for free.
Man, you can't beat that price.
I say that in the ad.
Oh, you did that ad? Kind of thought so.
We will now take a moment for an important message.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Download now.
So, welcome back. Now we're going to discuss our stuff.
Our stuff, okay.
I'm going to go first because my stuff's first in the list.
So what did you get up to? What projects? What did you...
Well, we bought some fun foam from, was it Crayola or something? Remember that Crayola?
Yes, yes. We
were hoping it would dry hard, but it didn't dry that hard, but...
It dries still foam, like it's
yeah,
literally...
Yeah, it's a little... But, so I made some rocks out of it. I think they turned out right. I dry brushed them.
We didn't know what to expect. We were going to experiment. I don't think for the applications that we were thinking.
No, we wanted to make bases out of it and stuff like that.
And you still can, but it's a lot more. It
doesn't get hard enough.
For what I had in mind, it doesn't get hard enough. It's still very flexible,
and it doesn't really take doesn't take detail well either because it's foamy.
It's light, but
it does make good rocks and craters.
Yeah. So take it for what it's worth.
And it was cheap.
Yeah. So I still have a bag of this stuff, so I'll see what I can get up to with it. I haven't done...
Make, like, spires.
Spires.
And also, as I discussed before, I got Sedition Wars just to use the miniatures. So now that I already made up some corporation guys, I decided to take the strain from Sedition Wars and turn them into some plagues. So I painted up some strain, got some pictures... I went for red, black.
They look particularly gruesome.
I kind of did the opposite of Jack's, because Jack's all green, so mine are all red.
And they are...
So we need... This is the one I made some new stats for them. They're going to be more plague dogs, and just look at those things. They look like dogs, stage 2 dogs. And more of just stage 3s without weapons. I like how their pants turned out. And we have some more pictures. Here's a... It's like a girl one. You get a girl...
With a, like a long...
Fingernail, like extended.
Fingernail, like a... I don't know, she kind of looks like a ninja, kind of looks like a
she kind of
alien.
Me of the girl of... from
one of those
Species.
Oh, Natasha Henstridge.
Yes.
I was thinking, well, one of those fighting games,
that
mid-90s. She kind of got the look, the top knot. She looks like she belongs in one of those.
And here's another one. I just repositioned her arm and cut off part of her nail so it's shorter, so she was different. Have some plagues running across a bridge.
So you're so these are from who?
Sedition Wars.
Sedition Wars, and they're going to be your proxies for playing Plague.
Yeah, if I ever play them, eventually I might want to play Plague. I don't want to play your Plague. So.
Well, now you don't have to. Now we can both play Plague against a
Plague against Plague.
Nope, two different kinds of Plague against
Plague on Plague violence. or we could both be Plague versus something else.
Yeah, we'll mix it up. We'll make We'll let loose the dogs of war.
Literally.
The plague dogs of war.
So you have all little plague dogs, I have all big plague dogs. More like zombie kind of guys. I could probably use them for plague zombies.
You got enough of them. Look at them.
That's not even all of them. Like, I painted up probably half of what was in this Edition Wars box. I just got, I was like, I got enough for a Strikes team, and that was it. So if you want to paint some more stuff up, there's...
Oh, God, no.
There's a lot more. There's a close-up of the girl with her finger pointing.
She's pointing, so she's obviously a sergeant.
That's right.
More and more of them. That's a lot of pictures.
Yeah, it's a lot of plague. And then, so that's what I did. So, what did you do?
Well, let's see what order we have here for the pictures that you're going to put up on the website.
Could be any order.
Okay, well, the first thing I did was the raptor I painted.
Since we had another raptor. We discussed this before.
From the crazy box that you had brought over. So what I did was I painted a raptor. I went with a kind of a greenish...
It's almost like a Nazi camouflage where it's got the dots. And...
I did. I cammed it up. I made it as, without being too... stock camouflage. I went with something I thought would be a little.
Yeah, it's not just camouflage. Yeah, it's cool.
A little alien. So it's.
It looks awesome.
It is what it is. It's going to be different from the ones that you did. So when we do have some rampaging bikers tearing across
strikes running around.
Yeah, it looks different, which is nice. And I had fun doing it. I painted the camouflage on. It took a little bit of time and.
Well, it's different. Like, you're so used to painting, like, miniatures. It's nice to get a vehicle once in a blue moon.
It is, because then I was able to test with some washes and some other stuff. So, we'll see what they look like in gameplay. But that was my first project.
And you also did some fire for one of the ones I painted up.
You had done a Terraton mail. It has the flamer on the arm, and you asked me
Well, it's a Dreadball Terraton, but he looked like he had a flamer on his arm.
And he might, for Dreadball, have a flamer. That might be what it is. So we, Rob put in a request for a...
I saw that, I was like, Jack, you got to put fire in this.
A little gout of flame. Now, the picture, it doesn't show... Usually when Rob takes a picture of
We'll take a better fire, picture, we'll do this.
Okay, well, it looks like it's on fire.
Yeah, this one, it's a little bit better. It's just the flash, I think, was...
We created a gout of flame on the end of that flamer, and it's... I think it turned out all right in real life. Usually the pictures really pop.
Yeah, we'll take a better picture. I'll try to take a good picture.
Okay. So I...
You'll see a good picture on the website.
I flamed up the Terraton there, and...
You also did a... Well, I put them together, but then you
Rob dropped off from a crazy box another plague, the 3A,
He was just a guy, though, I think, wasn't he?
Well, he is supposed to be the general. He's got the knife and the gun and the whole deal. But I had already have one, so I wanted to make him look different.
And I positioned him because I wanted to put him on a box, but I couldn't find any boxes.
Well, I used the hot water treatment.
You moved him more?
Because I had the corpse of a plague dog. Now, if you remember from listening throughout the trials and tribulations of this podcast...
Jack's killed some plague dogs in his time.
The plague dogs, I had a fatality arrive with the weakened ankles of the one plague dog that it was... so we put in for the replacement. But what I did was, since he had no feet... I cut off his head and made a hybrid
from a different model.
I have some other models that are dogs, and I made a hybrid, so that left me with a footless, headless body. So I put that away.
So to think that you'd actually find a use for it one day.
So now I have a general with his foot up, but no crate to put it on. I used the hot water treatment, and I laid the corpse of the plague dog down, painted it up onto the base, put the plague, now my new plague general, because he's now...
He's pretty epic.
He's kind of epic. I've put him with his foot on the corpse, the bloodied corpse of a plague dog.
He's pointing with his sword.
He's got a sword up in the air, and he's got a gun pointed forward, and I added some gore effects to it, so I like the way he turned out.
He's avenging his fallen dog.
Yeah, or it shows a complete,
He chopped off his own dog's head?
Non-apathy. Like, it just, maybe it shows that there's no...
He's stepping over the corpse of his own people?
Yeah, like, it's not a thing. Who knows what it represents, but that's...
He's cool.
That's,
New general.
Yeah, and there is another picture of him.
More of a shot of the dog here,
standing atop the gore. Now I'm going to see. It's not the glossy stuff that I use to seal him up. I'm going to try and make the base a little less glossy with some experiment, so it looks like it's on the mat. It's part of the mat, but
yeah, instead of.
Yeah, that's what I did. I did a raptor. I did the flame on that for the Terraton, and I did the that general.
Yeah, that's good. That general looks awesome.
Well, the crazy box had two type 3As in there, so the other one I think I'm going to try and make look like it's riding on the back of that trike. Just
throw him on there?
Throw him on there so that he could ride the trike if need be.
They stole a Marauder Raptor?
Because I don't need any more type
3As. No, you got to put a few type 3As, yeah.
If
might as well use them for something.
Any variation other than just a ground troop that I have no interest in using will be a benefit to my army, I think. So that's what I got up to since the last
And that podcast. Just gave you some more Marauders to paint up, so.
Yeah, God knows when I'll get to that. I have no idea.
They're just still on sprues, too. You have to actually... They got all the options, so you can do what you want with them.
Yeah.
Believe me, that's from the Crazy Box, too. You always get Marauder command squads, and I had two of them there that you can screw around with. I've made enough Marauders. I'm done with Marauders.
Yeah, well...
That's another thing. People were arguing with me, especially Liam Hall, our friend Monkey Kung Fu. And
Monkey Kung Fu, he doesn't argue.
He was arguing that Marauders are the best faction.
Yeah, see,
Adam Voxman, our other friend on Twitter there, he was agreeing with him. All those people love Marauders. What is up with that?
Well, I would question, since I don't get involved in this kind of baseless accusations against our friends that you're getting into here, saying they're fans of the Marauders. Like, I'm...
You think I'm insulting them by saying
that? I'm just going to say that perhaps, giving the benefit of the doubt, aesthetically must not be. Maybe mechanics-wise, they play them because...
Well, that's what I said. Well, I said they're fun to play, but they're still... You know, they're still losers. And he said, well, it'd be hard to lose with those guys. They're so good. And I said, they're losers of life, not necessarily.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll give the benefit of the doubt and say this.
For sure. I think the probably strongest faction probably is the Marauders. But
well,
aesthetically, not so much.
That's not where our beef is with them.
No, for sure.
And so, I have never even played them, so I can't speak.
Yeah, you've played rules against them once.
So, yeah.
And that was a game I just ran off the edge of the board, so you never really got to. It was a good fight, though. That was a good game. I remember that game. I remember that game fondly. The one time I played Marauders.
Think back. It was all the Mob Beasts. Mob Beasts and Goblin Snipers.
Some of your major things.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't use them that much.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree if they're speaking about aesthetics.
Anybody else who thinks the Marauders are the best faction, aesthetically, we're not saying gameplay, please let us know on Twitter, at Dead Zone Podcast.
Because it sounds like you, you know,
might need some mental help.
Because... Adam, he's not just like we.
Well, Adam just got into Dead Zone. He just bought everything for Dead Zone, so he'll have to play some. He went crazy, and there was a sale on Mantic, which it's because of the World Cup. They had some great sales they were doing, so there was like 30% off one time. He went in.
Wow. Well, Mr. Voxman, once you get a couple games under your belt and you see how it is and whatever, we'll have to have you on this show, and
we'll see how it goes.
We'll discuss. We'll talk. We'll have a crossover.
Speaking of Adam, his Strike Zone Dreadball Show is our next ad.
Oh, look at that segue.
It was almost like we planned it.
But we didn't.
Because we don't plan anything, believe us.
Believe you me.
There's no planning involved here.
None whatsoever. Off the seat of our pants and such and things.
This is the Strike Zone.
Yo, yo, Dreadball fans, the Strike Zone podcast is all about entertaining, educating, and informing you about everything Dreadball. We record twice a month, are an hour long, and are child-friendly. You can look us up on iTunes with the keywords Dreadball and Strike Zone, or on our main website, www.warmoreradio.com.
Enter the Strike Zone.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast.
And welcome back.
Welcome back. Okay, well, what's next? We got to...
Our last segment today will be a review.
A review. Okay, well, Wintergreen, give us the old review lead-in.
It is now time for product reviews.
That was real exciting, Wintergreen. Thank God you recorded that for us.
Thank you.
Anywho. I was being sarcastic. He was being serious. So, we had a look at some MicroArt Studio terrain. We already had some. We had some catwalks and some buildings from MicroArts, but we got some more. We got a...
That's one that you were interested in and wanted to review and wanted to, particularly wanted me to have a hand in putting together so I can...
Get a feel for this stuff, yep.
Get a feel for it, and so we did.
Yep, we got the garage, we got the billboards, there's two sets of billboards, and we got the catwalks, which we already had, but we also got armor for the catwalks, which is cool.
Yes, yes. Now, you had already put catwalks together, so...
So I made you put them together.
So I put them together.
And I put the garage in the signs.
Yeah.
So we have some pictures of here of the process. Here's all the garage bits laid out. There is lots of bits.
There's lots of bits.
That's the one thing with MicroArts. They don't skimp on bits. There's bits everywhere.
It does make more intricate looking scenery, but it
is a next level up for putting stuff together.
Well, you're telling me.
It is a lot. It's a next, like, MicroArts, it actually was the first MDF terrain I ever put together, but it is quite difficult. Like, it's not easy. The instructions are... Not the best to follow. Not clear.
Well, we did have an issue when I was putting the armor together. The instructions were out of order, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they should have mentioned that there was two different bits that you could mistake to be the same thing.
They did mention it, but it was...
After, yeah.
Two panels after you've already put everything together.
So our suggestion for these is probably go online. Maybe somebody has a video of how to put them together or better instructions, because the instructions aren't clear.
But, yeah, because it's very minimal.
And there's also a lot of a lot of options you get. So you're not even using all the bits.
Yeah,
there's tons of options you get with it. Like, that's this stuff is super detailed. It's super great looking. It is quite difficult to put together.
It's not your base. Now, we did two podcasts ago. We did a review for
Systema.
And it was basic. It was fast.
That's right.
It was enjoyable to put together.
But it was not as detailed.
It's not as detailed, and it's not as, intricate.
So there's pros and cons of, that's the thing, it's hard, it's almost hard to compare the two, because one's detailed and hard to put together, and the other one is not as detailed, but it's easier. So.
You say hard to compare, but I'm just going to go start comparing right now, because I enjoyed the quick and the ease of the Systema.
Yeah.
It was something that we put together, and it was, required the glue. This doesn't.
Not as much, for sure. Not as much.
But we were able to knock out two big terrain pieces in a minimum time, and it was it's fine looking stuff. It was good. Now this took time.
It's a lot more detailed. Yeah.
So if you're looking for something that you want to get it on
as
the
I
board,
said at the time, it's over engineered. There's bits. There's extra bits everywhere, and there's extra stanchions and.
Don't think you're just going to sit down and...
No, you don't just... there's a picture here. It's of the garage going together. And you can see the two halves. You just push them together. Whereas a normal terrain set, that would be it. There's all your four walls. That's just the beginning. There's about 18 other layers that goes on top of this for these guys. That's the thing. It's so much more to it.
And it's a snug fit.
Yeah, very tight. Yeah.
The tolerances are very, very tight.
Almost too tight sometimes.
Well... They were hard to get in. Now, it made so that you didn't need the wood glue.
Yeah, and it held together quite nicely. You didn't have to hold things while it stayed to glue. And...
But you needed to push. You needed to get in there.
Scarily push, because there's a few times you push too hard and might have snapped stuff.
Well, I, with my big meat hooks.
That's right.
At one point, you got mad because I just kept
snapping things.
Getting them out of the sprues.
That's another thing with the
they're
hard in the sprue.
Hard in those sprues.
Because once again, the tolerances are so small that even in the sprue they're tight.
And I was pushing with I was trying
and you can't even
to
get
be
a
careful.
Knife in there because it's so thin.
I was trying to be careful, and I at one point it was okay, I'm just snap. Oh, I broke one.
Best thing is though, since it's MDF, we just glued it back together.
We had to glue it back together,
but that's the best. You don't even look. You look at the pieces now. You can't even tell that pieces were broken.
No. But just to as a
As a word of warning, be careful when you're
pushing
things together.
Word of warning, and also what to expect if you're going to put these together. They look great. The end product looks great.
Yeah, here's an unpainted garage, and you can see all the extra bits from when I showed the frame. There's ramps. There's garage doors that go up and down. There's a roof and floors that come out. It's ladders, doors.
But I will say there was a frustration level as I was putting it together that
Yeah, we'll get to your catwalks. Let's look at the nice pretty first.
Okay.
We also have the great looking, beautiful looking signs.
They do look good.
And that's with the plastic on them. I took the plastic off after and they're even shinier. And here's a great shot of the finished product of them.
Now... Those billboards look fantastic. The way they fit together looks good. It looks like a futuristic sci-fi. And the picture we're looking at now, you've painted the terrain.
Yep, we did some white and gray on the terrain, two different levels.
So you're looking at you're right. It is the next level.
It's the end product.
The details.
Is the end product worth the frustration? I think it is, but I have a feeling you don't think it is. But the end product, you can't deny how good it looks.
It looks good. It looks great. And if that's what you're...
Especially the buildings. The buildings were a lot easier. I didn't have as much trouble when I put together my catwalks as you did when you did yours. So
there's probably... your mileage will vary depending on...
tolerances and...
Yeah, and...
Patience levels.
Not just patience levels, but probably just...
Because here you can see a shot of Jack working away here, and you can see all the bits, and this is not even all of it. This is just the beginning of the catwalks.
Yes, that's a picture of the with the instructions there, and
it's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of little pieces, and again, the instructions were a little sketchy, but I didn't have problems with the catwalks.
No, you did pretty good for those.
It's intuitive once you break out break out the different pieces, put them together. Now, the one thing about the catwalks was one of the sprues has something called the pusher tool.
Yeah.
And it pops out and it's got that a little nib. You'll need that tool. We burned that tool out.
Yeah, you've like worn it down to a nub.
By the time I was done with the count, because
there's every little, you can see in the picture, every little grate, all those little holes, they actually have things in them.
And you can see them scattered all over
everywhere.
All over the drop cloth there. Because, again,
until you were vacuuming them up for like a week.
It's the details that they put into it.
Yeah, you could have done a smooth level or even just like an etched, but no, they actually dug through it.
They dug through it. And it's, if you're looking for something that looks different and looks finished, it makes for a finished look. But I had that pusher tool going to town because you have to knock out hundreds of these little holes. And, again, it takes time.
And the armor was fiddly because there's three different pieces to all of them. And then there's different shapes. And then the different braces. There's two different types of braces. And
The armor, like the catwalk was fine. It takes time. It does take time. A lot more time than, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot more delicate work. As you can see by just how thin the empty is in places.
But then I got to the armor. Now, the armor, like you said, each armor shielding bit has three distinct pieces, which I think they probably could have.
But that's another thing, say to their detail. They could have gotten away with all being the same piece.
Yes.
And, but their detail is so high that each individual piece is slightly different shape.
And fits differently and looks different.
And it's amazing how it fits together, too.
Etched differently.
Once again, when it's finished, it looks so amazing.
It does. It does. But it takes time. And you have to, each piece, you have to separate each piece and you have to know each piece. You have to know the difference.
You definitely, the key to this success of this stuff is to separate everything out and make sure each thing is in the right pile and then know that there is different pieces.
And if you're going to purchase the armor plating, which when you see the end result, I wouldn't blame you if you do.
No, it's awesome, man.
Because it looks fantastic. There are armor plates that go down the stairs at an angle. And there's armor plates that go across
the
catwalk
itself. And there's two different widths, too, of the ones across.
And there's two different widths of the ones that go across. It tells you, oh, by the way, there's two different clips that hook onto the backs of the armors.
Yeah.
Angled for the stairs or for the catwalk.
But they don't mention that until too late.
They mention, oh, there's an A and there's a B, and here's how to tell the difference. After they've already told you to
put this together.
To put all of the catwalk ones together. So,
yeah, we had let's just say there was some unassembling and then reassembling.
There was some unassembling. Skip ahead, see what the difference between the two are, separate them out from each other.
Yeah, make sure you have every piece separated, because they look very similar. They're not very similar.
There's a little tooth that sticks out on one that's not on the other. They look identical otherwise.
Yep.
But one's for the angle for the stairs, one's for the catwalk. Just
do
yourself a favor.
The end result, I think, is amazing. That armor looks so cool.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's the detail. So if you're looking for something that looks detailed and...
Yeah, it's in a great cover because it's, you know, little holes you can poke your head out.
But again, don't think you're just going to slap this together.
No, it's definitely not a... We did it one day and it probably isn't a one day job.
I think we clocked in at 6 hours for both of us to put this together.
It was a long... But it's like model making, right? Like, you don't think this is just putting some terrain together. This is really building a model. The way that the pieces go together, and it is literally building like a 3D puzzle almost.
Now, you asked me if I thought that it was worth the time and energy for the end product.
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah. For you to build it? Yeah. You would say no?
I would say no.
But I think you would be happy if I bought it and built it, though.
If you dragged that over and said, look what I did, I'd go,
it's so amazing looking.
Well, fill your boots. It looks fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome.
I like building them. That's the difference. I have fun building that stuff. I didn't get frustrated at all. I got frustrated with you, maybe, but...
You did get frustrated with me. I had my big meat hooks in there, and I was...
He was like, snap. Well, there's another one. We don't need that one. Luckily, that's the point is, we didn't need a lot of them, because there is a lot of extra bits.
But, yeah, it's a fantastic looking thing, and we can talk about it all night long, but I think for a finale, for a out of five, I'm gonna give it a probably a two, maybe a three Because it does look good at the end. At the end, it does look good. You throw a coat of paint on it, it takes the paint.
Yeah, and it looks like armor. Like, it's great.
I'm going to go a 3 generals standing on a dead plague dogs out of 5.
And I give 4 snipers out of 5 for sure, at least, to shoot that general. Because, at least that. Because the end result is amazing. Like, just be aware when you buy this stuff that it's going to be a lot of work. That's all.
Going in,
I think we were kind of spoiled by Systema's ease.
Systema,
and that was like the week before we built the Systema one, and then the next week we built this one, and it's a different animal. It's different levels. It's like when you get model kits and it says level 1, and then there's like level 6. This is the Systema's like a level 1. This is a level 6. Like, we skipped the middle ground, you know. Like,
yeah, it was.
There's a much higher skill range difference in this one.
With the Systema, we could have built what we built. We could have
filled
a full board.
But it's a lot. Like, there's. I probably about a tenth of the pieces. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Right? Like,
and if that's what you're looking for,
that's the thing. Like,
if you're looking,
I think the Micro Arts, and they're both kits. Both are the helipad and all the stuff we got from Micro Arts are both the same price. So yeah,
if you're looking to get a big setup right off the hop and with an ease and get going and playing, this battle, you know, the Systema.
Yeah, it'll get you there quicker, but this, well, I think, will look better.
But this does have, especially if you're looking for the aesthetics that it has, I would say.
Yeah, you know, it's much more.
Just know going in and make your choice.
That's the thing. Just know going in that this is. They should actually have like a level system like they do with models.
Huh.
Like, all model companies have that level system. They share it, I think, pretty much. Or at least share the idea of having levels. Because you also put together the harder bit. You put together the stairs and the shields. I bet if you'd done the garage, you wouldn't feel this way. Because the garage was pretty straightforward.
Okay, well.
That's another thing. You put together the really delicate piece.
Not my forte.
No. In hindsight, it was a wrong decision to give you that to put together. I just wanted to put together the garage because I knew it.
Hey, Frankenstein, here. Put together the most delicate and fragile of the kits. Okay. Yeah. So, okay.
But
so
it looks amazing. And you'll be seeing it in our battle reports because we're going to be using this.
We will be doing a battle report, and I think we're going to be doing a board with just the two... products we've reviewed so far.
We also have some Bandois stuff that we've had from before, which we painted up, which look cool.
But I think we're just going to do the two that we've done.
We'll just do one with just that stuff, yeah.
Just that stuff, so you can see it in action. We'll come back. We'll address what we've what we liked, what we didn't like, and you know.
Because I think actually another thing is the micro art stuff. I think it'll be better to play on. The other stuff's too open.
We'll see.
We'll definitely see. We'll let you know. We'll come back to it. But Micro Arts is a great company, and. And they're great models. It's just, it's hard to put together.
Yeah. And knowing what you're getting into is the most important.
And it's enjoyable. It's just know that you're going to go into it.
And then we're going to do another review, maybe not next. Well, we should do it. We should do it next
podcast. Yeah, because all of a sudden we're going to have a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, we're probably going to look at some Secret War bases next time.
Secret War bases, yes.
Because we did the Sedition War bases, and we kind of got into interest in doing basing instead of just having our clear bases like we usually do.
And now I've raved about Secret Weapons, their washes.
Yeah, you love their paints.
And I wanted to do a review of that, but...
Well, you can always discuss that.
We've already... Like, I've already sung their praises. Like,
you can discuss that in their in our review of the Secret War bases. You can mention it.
I will.
Hey, we'll give you some bases. You can use your washes on them.
There you go. So I was the one who went, hey, Secret Wars, let's do the washes, but... I've already sung the praises of the washes. If you ask me, they're fantastic. So we're gonna do the bases, and we're gonna see.
Yep, we'll check them out.
So maybe next podcast that'll be our next review.
Yep, we'll probably get that in there. Other than that, I think that might be it for us this week.
Well, this has been a jam packed.
A lot of news, a lot of news that is not great, but I can wait till October.
Yes, you did get a bad news.
It's only Peacekeeper. I'm actually not that interested in the Peacekeepers. I'm much more interested in the Pathfinder on the bike and off the bike and the Striders.
The Strider. And
that is my...
You've got proxies now, so your Peacekeepers will...
The Peacekeeper... And, the Peacekeeper and the big armors, they're probably going to be too expensive to use anyways. Like, I assume they're going to be more... They're probably going to be more than Enforcers.
You won't know until October.
But I'm sure... Well, no, we'll know when we get the cards for them. We'll have the cards in August.
So, yeah, proxies. Anywho, well, thank you for listening, everyone.
We've wasted your time once again.
We've enjoyed...
What? Oh, that was just being a downer.
Hey, Debbie Downer. How about I wrap this up? You go sulk in the corner.
Okay.
Listen to some emo music and cut yourself.
Oh.
Anywho, we've enjoyed bringing it to you. And please, if you want to get in contact with us, listen to the end of the broadcast here. We give you that information. Let us know what you think, what you want to hear, what you've enjoyed hearing. And we will be back in 2 weeks to inform and delight you again. Thank you for listening. This has been the Dead Zone Podcast. My name is Jack.
I'm Rob. Wintergreen, play us out.
Here is your host, Rob, to tell you how to contact us here at the Dead Zone Podcast.
Thank you, Wintergreen. You can listen to us on our website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at deadzonepodcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Join us next time for some more of the Dead Zone Podcast.
So, you're listening to the Dead Zone Podcast, and if you find us funny and you enjoy our sense of humor and you think that you'd like a little more entertainment, please visit us at Vinland Old Time Radio. Found where, Rob?
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.